So it's international and it's of good quality. This is why we come here. Attendance to the branch meeting now, from our perspective, is low. Could be better, is low, because it competes in terms of time and money with, from our perspective, with a Canadian meeting. After all, we have to network with people from Canada, from our perspective. And there is, of course, competition with other meetings of the, such as the acarology meetings. You have about 1,000 participants, the arachnology, 500 participants, and another ESA, that is the Ecological Society of America, which is a big meeting like this one. I say the ESA is an open society because when I raise my hand and I volunteer to be part of the activities of the ESA, I never felt put aside. I've been included as a colleague, as friends, and as a professional, and I really appreciate that. That the image here documents my input, some of my input. One of the highlights is having done the local arrangement committee in Montreal with Steve Clement here in the front row. I organized also a symposia for the ESA and stuff like that. Well, one line here says that so far I've published 135 papers, but 27 papers in ESA journals. That's intriguing. I could do better. We're going to talk about journal in a few images from now. But I review papers, and what I like about ESA is that they recognize my input. They gave me 2 awards. It's very kind of you. I'm glad for that. I'm grateful as well. As for Neubauer, he also has been part of the ESA Eastern Branch program. He organized symposia. And he published, out of 102 papers, 26 papers in ESA Journal. Well, that's a contribution. And he reviews more paper than I do per year. So we have our input. And we're faithful to the society. We participate. When Neubauer, the first meeting he attended was in Montreal. The first meeting, ESA meeting I attended was in Toronto. Rings a bell? And then my strategy is I like to network with people. So what you see highlighted in yellow are the ICE meetings, either Neubauer or I attended. So I do them all. So I did Hamburg, Vancouver, Beijing, Firenze, Iguazu, Brisbane, and Madame, I will do the Durban, I promise. Now, we try to be leaders. We try to be involved in the program. We organize symposia. We have no problem to propose to the ESA to organize symposia. We did, and we've been accepted like any professional. The ESA is open. I say to all the people here that are living outside the ESA, if you have good ideas, submit them. If they are very good, they will be accepted. I have no doubt about that. Now, for me, the problem comes in terms of money and time. If I want to be truly international, if I come to an ESA meeting, I will meet a majority of American people, by definition. And I think James has been very eloquent about that in that presentation. There's nothing wrong with that. I come back every year, as you appreciate here. But when you attend an ICE meeting, you tend to be able to reach with a different group of people. You were in Brisbane, you meet more Australians and Chinese, let's say, or Indians, and that is what I want. That is what I want. I want to have the opportunity to network with other people. Now, I don't know exactly how we can increase, but I have a few recommendations to make at the end of the talk. But Neubauer and I have worked win-win strategies whereby we network with, let's say, Americans here, and we organize a symposia, and we invited American speakers and vice versa. In other words, it's a network. It's a win-win networking strategy. So life is a two-way road. Publication cost has become an issue. And yesterday evening, talking with John Trimble again, I learned that ESA has taken very interesting steps to reduce base charge. And I think because, you know, the problem with downloading the file before you talk to the people is that, you know, from our perspective, the U.S. approach is the author pays about $900. Well, that's Canadian dollars, but nowadays it's not bad. And the European approach is that the journals are free. So free for the authors, not free for the libraries. And the reality also, there's fierce competition with specialty journals like that often have U.S. Editorial staff, like Pest Management Science, for instance, Journal of Chemical Ecology and Crop Protection. These are journals that go up and up, and they have ESA members in them. Subject seems to matter. Here again, Steve, you're right, I think. We studied the program. And look at this symposium here on Tuesday, page 102 of your program. Out of 10 presentations, 5 are from non-U.S. residents. And over the years, Neubauer noticed that physiology and toxicology attracts more European participation when new chemistries, if you want, when new chemicals are unveiled at this meeting. Originality, novelty. And this is what Steve also talked about, because this is about medical entomology here. So room for thought here. Recommendations now. If we want to go more international, there has been 3 meetings in Canada so far, perhaps 4, at least 3 in the recent years. But what about Mexico, which is few kilometers from here? I think if we want to have an outreach, the natural thing to do is to move forward and move southward to Mexico. Keep high quality journal, by all means. I had a talk with Phyllis Weintraub. She's doing a great job keeping the quality. John Trimble's doing the same. I don't want to give numbers, but the rejection rate increased. It's really important to keep the quality. We come here to have quality interactions. Thank you very much. As you see, it's very fun to be international. I would like to say the con now. I would like to say the con, or another recommendation, and then the con aspect. I would be against an international meeting under one circumstance. One thing I'd like to suggest, and again, I refer to the comment by the Indian fellow here. So when we come here, we're entitled to give only one talk or one symposium. Why should someone fly from Moscow, the real Moscow, not the hideout one, Moscow to here to give one talk? When you go to international congress, you can give 2-3 posters. There's no limit. Think about it. Okay. But I would be against an international branch. This is nothing wrong, I'm doing candid statements here. If it's sort of ghetto-like. In other words, if I live outside the U.S., well, I'm not forced to go in an international branch. I belong to the new insect plant, that's fine with me. That's a subject matter. But we have to find a way to do it smoothly where everybody will have a win-win relationship. Thank you very much.
Hello. Well, regardless of the cost to actually get to South Africa, I'm wondering if anyone might be interested to know that some travel funds have recently become available through this committee, through the ESA, and if you're interested, now that I have your attention, I'll get to that in just a second. But and we anticipated that there might be some loose ends during this symposium, And we wanted to allow a little time just prior to our last speaker, who will summarize and conclude the symposium, to hopefully give the audience a chance to interact with the speakers. So the one thing I do want to do, though, before we get to that, is, as I've mentioned with the travel funds, I'm going to ask Jack Peterson, who has been chair of the committee two times, to come up and just spend a few seconds sharing with you the status of these funds that he is the driving force behind through the NSF and in cooperation with the society. So I'm going to turn this over to Jack for just a sec.
Thank you, Gary. Beginning at last year's meeting, we began an effort to draft a group travel proposal which we submitted to the National Science Foundation. We've received a very favorable review, but unfortunately at this point the funds have not yet been committed. I'm in almost daily phone contact with the program officer, and it does look good, but the funds have not been committed, so I can't guarantee the existence of the funds. But we will be using electronic means. Is Richard Levine here? Okay, we're working with Richard Levine of the Central Office to prepare a blast email which will go out to all ESA student members informing them of the availability of travel funds. We've requested $50,000, and our intention is to support 20 plus students, and our intention is to partially subsidize the airfare portion of the expenses to go to the ICE 2008. We will be discussing this further in our business meeting, which will take place immediately after this session. The most important thing is for us to communicate to people the availability of these funds, and we will be using electronic means through ESA to do this. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, I want to keep us on schedule. I don't want to keep us here past the time that the symposium ends, so I'm going to leave some time for our summarizing and concluding speaker, but I think we do have time for one question from the audience, if there might be any questions that you didn't get a chance to ask one of the speakers. And, yes?
Actually, it's a question for Shirley.
Okay. Okay, Shirley, can I repeat the question so we make sure we have it on the recording? She wants to know if there is a good representation at the Congress from other countries. Did I get that right?
In Africa.
And from African countries in particular. Thank you, Shirley. I guess at this time we're going to go ahead with our last speaker. So, Rob, do you want to introduce?
Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, I'd like to introduce our last speaker then. Mega, if you'll come up to the podium. Mega Parjuli, did I pronounce it? Parjuli. Mega Parjuli is going to conclude and summarize the symposium for us.
Almost done. You've got about 5 minutes.
Okay, before I forget,
I would like to acknowledge some of the entities here for us to be able to do this timely symposium, program symposium. First of all, on behalf of the organizing committee or the organizers, Rob, myself, Gary, you know, particularly Rob. Rob took all the leading tasks, and we served as his peons, and I hope we did help Rob. And again, what a beautiful program symposium he put together. And Rob, on behalf of the entire International Affairs Committee, we congratulate and thank you. And obviously, we are going to acknowledge all the fine speakers we had this morning. I'm not sure whether I'm going to really thank Phil for the talk he gave. Seriously, though, Phil, I think you gave something to think about for the International Affairs Committee. As Gary pointed out, that we'll be discussing these issues at our final business meeting that follows immediately after this. And I guess what I'll be the incoming chair, and what I would propose our current chair of the committee, that during our business meeting we review briefly the presentations, those were presented here this morning, and go about the future course. And we obviously are going to take into account the talk Dr. Mulder gave this morning, and we'll keep you all posted. And also the committee, the International Affairs Committee and the Organizing Committee specifically, really would like to acknowledge thank sincerely to the Program Committee, ESA Program Committee, for selecting our program symposium, which I believe is very timely topic, especially during this transitional phase, and also acknowledge the receipt of the Program Enhancement Fund. I guess it's promised, not yet there, but we thank whoever is involved on that, so we appreciate. And I think Jack and Gary and Rob, all Rob is the one who actually put the proposal together, and Dr. Hanahan, I think she took the extraordinary effort to really showcase the theme of the ESA meeting this year, the connecting and, you know, making connection and connecting to the world. And I think that should serve as the model for our future meetings. And again, I thank the all the committee members and outside the IESC that help us to put this symposium together, and all the audience who participated to make this possible. And without going too much detail on this, I would like to close my comments here, and thank you very much. Okay. At the last point of business here, as I indicated to you that how marvelous job Dr. Hollingsworth did as the leader of the IESC for this year, as well as to really bring this program symposium together. So come on, Rob, we have, on behalf of the committee, a little token of appreciation for you. It's pretty nifty little plaque here. Robert G. Hollingsworth, USDA Area Specific Basin Ag Research, ESA International Affairs Committee, San Diego, California, December 11, 2007. You deserve, Rob.
Thank you very much.
Good and adjourn it, Chair.
Well, I want to thank you for this token, and it's very nice, actually, more than a token. And I've enjoyed being the chair of this committee, and I realize we're in a period of transition. So that's the next item of business, is those of you who would like to attend, we're going to start our International Affairs Committee meeting here. We might move some chairs around in the front, and we've got a fair number of things to consider today, and it'll probably be about an hour long meeting at least. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
very much. It's my pleasure to be here. I really do appreciate the opportunity. And the only thing I really want to do is just clarify two comments. They're accurate, but just so you understand the sequence of it, the governing board, when we met with what we call kind of our constitutional convention in January, was not at all backing away from the notion of an international branch. In all honesty, it was simply a case of taking so much change forward at one time with the sections and the rest of it, we felt like, and there are a lot of very important details in the context of creating a branch, that we just felt like it would be best in the interest of the society to take the time before proposing that as part of the overall renewal, take the time to step back, get things organized, get our ducks in a row, if you will, and to have the International Affairs Committee and their colleagues an opportunity to have the chance to really map things out and make a conscious decision. So there was general interest on that. I won't say it was necessarily uniform, but there certainly is interest. So thank you for the opportunity. This is, a really exciting time in ESA, and I want to share with you just a few things in terms of topic. Just enough about the renewal overview to kind of set the stage. I don't want to review the whole thing with you because hopefully you're familiar with it, but just enough to set the stage in the context of an international branch possibility, the rationale for an international focus, how to pursue an international branch, a little bit about the how-to if you so choose to, and really a challenge in some context in terms of thinking differently about entomology, the ESA, and how it fits into the world. In terms of a governance design criteria with regard to the renewal, it was really broken down into a few key principles and areas of focus. So one is fundamentally to streamline. I mean, if you think about how the ESA of today came together back in 1953, it was really a merger of sorts of two already existing organizations. Perhaps more out of necessity than really desire, and for some reasons, and so there was a lot of keeping of complexity or maintaining complexity of the two organizations, and so a lot of what the renewal is about was really trying to streamline the governance since we've had those years to come together and really get to our own identity, our own focus. New capabilities and ownership for results. The key here really was with sections in terms of developing ownership, responsibility, accountability for delivering to the membership some of the important things that need to be delivered in the key capabilities of public and science policy, fostering interest in entomology, program development, and continuing education. And really empowered sections to act on behalf of their membership. One of the great strengths of the ESA is our tremendous diversity from sections A through section F. It's tremendous. And it really does say a great deal about the capabilities within our society individually. But that diversity sometimes can work against us when we're trying to get out there and make some specific progress on some specific areas of interest. So we desperately tried with this renewal to find the right balance between valuing and building on that diversity, but at the same time finding ways to make progress in certain areas. In terms of streamlining, what we are proposing or have proposed and the membership has approved is really we currently have 14 official governing entities in the section world today. That's not just the six sections, but it's also the eight subsections, each of which have a chair, a vice chair, committees, and those kinds of things. And the new structure, which will be in place a little more than 24 hours, has four sections, and so we've really streamlined from 14 to four. Much broader responsibilities in those four. But our sincere hope, of course, is that we haven't lost any of the interest in those other areas. And so we developed the concept, elegantly simple, I think, of member networks that really can take these subject these topical areas and develop into whatever they would like without the encumbrance of a lot of administration or our bureaucracy. The structure from 1953 to 2007 for sections fundamentally was to identify symposia of topics at the annual meeting, and they do a great job, and they're continuing to do a great job. That group I saw come together personally this year under the leadership of Bob Peterson and really put together just a dynamite set of a program here, 74 symposia, a record number of submitted papers, and the rest of it. And they also would exist to populate ESA committees, standing committees, and so forth and so on. And that was fundamentally in about 2 hours, 3 hours a year of a business meeting, what they did, and of course the program committee worked between those periods of times. What we're asking them to do going forward is quite different. It's to identify the symposia topics. That has not changed. And the president and the vice president for each of the four sections will be part of the program committee. They will still, of course, be populating the ESA central committees, but they will take ownership for four of our five key capabilities that we're saying is really part of the overall renewal. I've already alluded to these: public and science policy outreach, fostering interest in entomology, program and issue leadership, and continuing education. So that's really the core of what this whole restructuring was about. So empowered sections to make a difference is really what they're about. In these areas, you can imagine any number of topics. And in fact, we've had really very successful 3 days of very intense workshops with the section leadership councils already to help them to facilitate with them what kinds of topics, what kinds of focus of area focus they might want to take on. And there are things such as insecticide, transgenic crops resistance, student development forums across departments, bed bug resurgence from a program standpoint, and biological control risk. These are all ideas, and there's many other ideas within each of the sections that they're looking at. We also have provided them funds, $50,000 across the four sections, to be able to do the things that might support these kinds of priorities. So they are really moving in a very active manner. And again, just to remind you, we also have a number of member networks. And member networks is an option for the international community, and I think Phil Mueller is going to talk a little bit about that. But the networks really are not organized governance bodies within ESA. They have absolutely no entitlements at all. But we do provide a lot of encouragements, and we've purchased software that hopefully will be very useful. It's called Socius software, and if you want an image, it's kind of like a MySpace for associations, where they can create their own listservs, their own polling capabilities. It's self-managing. You don't need an IT professional or anybody working with that. And this is just a sampling. We already have, I think, 32 of these networks who have stepped forward and said, we'd like to get started. And so that momentum is just now starting to roll. And if you look at this list, you can imagine a little bit about the complexity and difficulty the governing board had in trying to figure out, you know, how we would set up sections. Because you could argue, and I think just about everybody on this list did argue, that they should be a section. But that just doesn't make sense from a governance standpoint. It does make sense from a program standpoint. It does make sense from groups of individuals who have common interests and need to get together and talk about their profession and so forth. But from a governance standpoint, it really didn't make a lot of sense. So the network system seems to be working well. But as I say, they're not governing entities. They're not regulated. And they're not entitled to anything from ESA, anything more than what an ESA member would be entitled to, of course. They are self-forming. They are welcome to use ESA as an umbrella organization, and they are open for access to ESA encouragements that I've already described. So what are our global aspirations long-term? Again, looking across this in terms of how we're structured, there is essentially in the new bylaws that take effect tomorrow, there are no changes whatsoever virtually in the branch system. And if you're interested in all the boundaries, you can see it. But there are some non-U.S. Territories already included in our current branch system. Southeastern branch includes Puerto Rico. Southwestern branch includes most of Mexico. North Central branch includes portions of Canada. Pacific branch includes portions of Canada, Mexico, and Pacific Islands. And Eastern branch includes portions of Canada. So if you look in that, each specific area and territory within our bylaws is specified, and none of that has changed with the renewal. But there's also clearly a lot of areas that are not in there. And one thing to take note of, however, is that it's probably the fastest, the group that does not fit in those areas is some of the fastest growing areas within ESA. Right now there's 438 members that are not geographically able to fit within any of those five areas. That's about 8%. To be honest with you, that's about the size of the Southwestern branch in terms of its total membership. The total number of countries represented in that is 78 countries. And that's not the only letter that I received over the course of the year in terms of where do I fit, because it is a fairly recurring question in terms of where people fit. So is there a clientele? Is there a need? Is there some level of desire for some branch affiliation or association within ESA? I think clearly there is, and it's a growing one. So should we have an international focus? Well, one way to take a look at this is to say, well, what does our vision say? Because we have spent some dedicated time working on an organizational or association vision? What's our mission? Are there some suggestive signs, other than what I've just shared with you, of demand for any kind of international growth? Well, our vision statement, I'll just take a couple seconds here to read it. The Entomological Society of America will be recognized by peer associations, the scientific community, and the public as the best forum for scientific exchange of entomological knowledge, leading to a record of positive influence within public and private institutions where this information is essential. So there's absolutely no limitation in that statement at all in terms of in a particular area or in a particular field. So it clearly is wide open that kind of influence, and in a small and a shrinking world, there's even more opportunity to interpret that as an opportunity to have a bold and broad vision. And the mission statement, which aligns with that, is that the Entomological Society of America exists to promote the science of entomology. The Society accomplishes this through disseminating original research and perspectives leading to a continuous stream of discoveries and applications relevant to the science, creating productive opportunities to stimulate new ideas and capitalize on the diversity and varied perspectives of the